This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Stocks nosedive. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, May 14. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Investors remain unsettled by trade talks between the U.S. and China. They sent the financial market sharply lower after Washington and Beijing announced new tariffs.
Two seaplanes carrying cruise ship passengers on an excursion have collided midair in Alaska. At least five people have been killed.
Attorney General William Barr has appointed a prosecutor to look into how the Russia investigation began against the Trump campaign.
And from the labor market, why entry-level jobs aren't so entry-level anymore.
There are a lot of forces happening here that are changing those jobs, particularly things like automation, which, you know, often the first job out of college, kind of a white-collar job, was something having to do with the back office. A lot of the rote tasks that those new workers used to do have been automated, so companies are reimagining those jobs in a lot of different ways.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber on what new college grads can expect as they enter the workforce. She's here in about 20 minutes. Another rough day for stocks as the U.S. and China continue to swap tariffs in their drawn-out trade dispute. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 617 points, or 2.4%. The S&P 500 dropped by the same percentage, while the NASDAQ tumbled even further, shedding 3.4%. J.J. Kinahan is chief market strategist at TD Ameritrade.
The longer your time frame, the more this is noise. What you should be paying attention to is the earnings of companies. Earnings drive stocks. And that's something to really keep in mind overall for a longer term.
Many money managers had credited the stock market's 2019 rally to a combination of easy monetary policy, steady growth in the U.S., and signs of progress in trade negotiations.
I don't think that it's, you know, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, but we just had a nice little run up here so far this year, and I think people are like, I'm going to take some profits and kind of see what's next, so to speak.
The Wall Street Journal quotes analysts who say there's still time for the U.S. and China to carve out a trade agreement, noting increased tariffs imposed by each won't hit goods in transit immediately. Speaking of that, the U.S.-China trade dispute has reached a new level. Beijing yesterday, as expected, retaliated against higher U.S. tariffs with plans to increase levies on $60 billion in U.S. imports. In addition, Washington laid out nearly $300 billion of new Chinese imports that would face 25% levies. The higher tariffs are expected to raise costs for both consumers and businesses and could stunt economic growth in both countries. Neither side appeared ready to compromise. At the White House, President Trump blamed last week's breakdown in talks on China, but said he plans to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping next month when he's in Japan for the Group of 20 summit.
We don't have to pay any tariffs if you're a manufacturer in this country. You pay nothing. Open your division or open up your product. Have it made in this country as opposed to made in China.
Among the items excluded from the new tariffs, pharmaceuticals, certain medical goods, and rare earth materials. President Trump has moved dramatically to pull free from Congress in recent weeks by slapping huge trade penalties on Chinese imports and directing the construction of a wall along the Mexico border, looking to solve issues that dog Democrats and Republicans for decades. The risky moves mark Mr. Trump's attempt to deliver on two of his core campaign promises in the face of a Democratic House and muted GOP opposition in the Senate, as he seeks to cast himself as a defiant chief executive willing to act alone. What about repercussions? Here's Damian Poletta, senior economics correspondent at The Washington Post. Damian, what's up here?
After the first 2 years of his presidency, when we really didn't see much movement on either of these issues, the president has, in the past few months, really gotten much more aggressive, broken loose from Congress, and decided to do things all on his own. So he declared the national emergency in February that gives him money, that frees up money so that he can build a wall along the Mexico border. And just in the past few days, he's gotten extraordinarily tough on China, imposed, you know, huge tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports, and he's threatening to impose tariffs on everything else China sends us, more than $300 billion in goods that would impact, you know, virtually every American and what they consume, you know, on a weekly basis.
All right. You can certainly see his frustration with Congress failing to, I guess, adequately address these issues. Could things get worse if he, say, does not or won't address these things on his own?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think his frustration is both with, you know, Congress and with China, quite frankly. Yeah. He feels like that they need to play, they need the tough talk in order to for them to listen. You know, they haven't been paying attention or taking him seriously. So he thinks he has to really send a shot across the bow. Now, the question is, you know, and as we're seeing now, China is responding not by capitulating, but by retaliating. And so they're going to impose tariffs on U.S. products, you know, and then we're just going to go back and forth with this, you know, escalation every day, perhaps. And how much more of the stock market volatility can the White House stomach? You know, we're not really sure. You know, in the past, other countries have kind of caved to his threats, but China is not following that playbook. So, you know, there does seem to be definitely some near-term risk. The president thinks this is worth it to get, you know, the change that's been needed for decades with China and their approach to trade. But, you know, one kind of misalignment or one mistake on either side could really, you know, hammer the economy, the global economy, quite frankly, and no one knows where things will go from there.
I'm speaking with Damian Poletta, senior economics correspondent at The Washington Post. His story is entitled Trump's Go-It-Alone Approach on Trade and Immigration Poses Economic Risks. I guess, is there potential that China could be hurt more simply because we import far more than we export there?
That's a really great question. I think the president definitely believes that, and there are signs that China's economy is weakening and that they could feel, you know, these changes more acutely. But at the same time, you know, the U.S. economy has been doing so well. You know, something like getting into a trade war with our largest trading partner, who knows what that could mean if China decides to stop buying U.S. products, if they make it harder for some of their products to even get over here to the States, and it drives prices up or you know, has all sorts of, you know, confusing unintended consequences or possibly intended consequences. You know, small damage to the U.S. economy could be major damage around the world in countries that aren't even in the middle of this, and we won't know that, you know, for maybe a few weeks or months.
With 2020 in mind, how about the political risks or rewards domestically?
You know, that was one of the things that surprised me last week about this, was how much President Trump tried to connect Joe Biden with this China issue. He really targeted former Vice President Biden directly by saying, if you know, it was the Obama and Biden administration that allowed China to take advantage of the U.S. for so long, and I thought that, by him invoking that, it makes it seem a lot less likely that he's going to back down soon. He sees this as a strong, you know, part of his narrative for 2020, him being tough with China, especially if he can do some damage to Biden in the process. So I think we should expect to hear more of that. It'll be interesting to see how Democrats respond.
Damian, that is Damian Poletta, senior economics correspondent at The Washington Post. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Five people have been killed, 10 others injured, one person missing after two float planes collided in midair over southeast Alaska. Officials say the planes were carrying cruise passengers taking part
inshore excursions. The collision happened just after 1 p.m. yesterday near the town of Ketchikan, located between the Gulf of Alaska and British Columbia. U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer John Paul Rios.
The Coast Guard immediately launched an MH-60 Jayhawk rescue helicopter along with two 45-foot response boat mediums. All three of those assets are on scene searching at this time.
Princess Cruises said the larger of the two planes was operated by Taekwon Air and was flying on an excursion sold through the cruise line, while the second, smaller plane was operating an independent tour. The FAA spokesman Alan Knitzer said the planes collided under unknown circumstances. The cruise ship Royal Princess departed Vancouver for a 7-day cruise on Saturday and was due to arrive in Anchorage on May 18. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, U.S. officials are targeting a $300 billion list of additional Chinese imports for tariff hikes, ratcheting up a trade fight. The list of 3,805 product categories is a step toward carrying out President Trump's threat to extend punitive 25% duties to all Chinese imports. A June 17th hearing will be held before Washington decides how to proceed. The escalation of the trade war is rattling global financial markets, with the Dow Industrials plunging 617 yesterday. Art Hogan is chief market strategist for National Securities Corporation.
That means we're probably going to see slower global economic growth. It also means that some of what we've priced into this market needs to come out of the market. We're going through that process.
The U.S.'s new list of targets includes laptops, saw blades, turbine parts, tuna, and garlic. Attorney General William Barr has appointed a U.S. attorney to examine the origins of the Russia investigation to determine if intelligence collection involving the Trump campaign was lawful and appropriate. Barr appointed John Durham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, to conduct the inquiry. North Korea today called the U.S. seizure of a North Korean cargo ship involved in banned coal exports a robbery and demanded that the vessel be returned immediately. The North accused the U.S. of betraying the spirit of a summit agreement last June between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Former President Jimmy Carter is recovering from surgery after he fell and broke his hip yesterday. The 94-year-old fell at his home in Plains, Georgia, and is said to be recovering comfortably at a nearby hospital. Doris Day, the sunny blonde actress and singer whose comedic roles opposite the likes of Rock Hudson and Cary Grant made her one of Hollywood's biggest stars in the 50s and 60s, has died at the age of 97. With her fresh-faced beauty and glowing smile, Day was a top box office draw and recording artist known for songs like Whatever Will Be, Will Be. But her personal life involves some hard luck. Her 1976 book chronicled her money troubles and three failed marriages. In more recent years, Day had been a huge animal rights advocate through her Animal Foundation.
It's about as big a name as you could have gotten during that period.
Seemed like a really great person.
Very nice. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time for some real-world advice for the current batch of college grads. Technical skills turn over fast, so employers are looking for fast learners who can quickly evolve and have exceptional soft skills. The good news, you're entering the hottest job market in half a century. The bad news, your first step on the corporate ladder could still be a tough one. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber says you and your classmates will likely be expected to operate on a more sophisticated level than graduates of past decades. Lauren, what are you hearing?
Well, we spoke to many employers and also some recent college graduates about what's expected today of new grads when they enter the workforce. And there are a lot of forces happening here that are changing those jobs, particularly things like automation, which, you know, often the first job out of college, kind of a white-collar job, was something having to do with the back office. Maybe it was in finance, accounting, human resources, things like that. A lot of the rote tasks that those new workers used to do have been automated. So companies are reimagining those jobs in a lot of different ways.
I was surprised, too, at the way today's grads have expectations kind of early on, whether it be perhaps for a quick promotion, which seems to catch managers off guard. You mentioned, there was a young man in the story who, a week into the job, asked for something new, like to take on a project, or he had an idea.
Yeah, that was interesting because I had spoken to an anthropologist who looks at business and the way workplaces operate, and she had made the point that younger people want to customize their jobs, sort of pick and choose what they want to do. And then, interestingly, a few weeks later, I had this interview with a young man who graduated in 2017, and he was telling me, without any prompting, that about a week into his job, he was hired as a data scientist. He met with the head of product management at the company he was working at and said, I'd like to move into the product side of the business. And they had a series of meetings, and a few months later, the head of product management told him, why don't you pitch this idea to the CEO and some others. He pitched it, he was successful, and pretty soon he was working 50-50 in the job he was hired for a few months earlier, and then building out a new team for this new product. And basically within a year, he had a completely different job.
Wow. That dovetails with the comment you made before about young workers wanting to customize their job, because then you referenced some managers these days see them managing a team, right? I guess rather than what, a traditional department or something?
Well, rather than individuals. So, okay. You know, I think the thinking is that in the past, managers saw their job as managing individuals and who had particular defined roles. So the question was that person, how was that person doing in that role? And a lot of management theory, and I think practice is sort of catching up, is that companies and managers should be thinking in terms of teams, thinking about dynamic team, you know, putting together teams in a very dynamic way that play to people's strengths. So if you have somebody in a group or on a team who is meant to be writing for the team or writing reports or whatever, but turns out doesn't like writing or maybe isn't very good at it, the idea is that you can kind of quickly reconfigure a team so that somebody else who's on the team who's good at writing and enjoys it takes up that part, and the other person, you know, does other things that play better to their strengths.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday, May 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Stocks tumble as the U.S. and China swap new tariffs. The Attorney General wants to know if the government's methods for collecting intel on the Trump campaign were lawful and appropriate. Walmart is rolling out free next-day delivery on certain items starting today with no membership fee. Knicks, Suns, Cavaliers have the best chance of landing the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery tonight. And the big city fire department that rejected a Navy SEAL because at the age of 37, he was too old. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell is thanking small businesses this month with up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. The NBA Western Conference Finals begin this evening with Portland visiting Golden State. Can the Trailblazers continue the Game 7 momentum that carried them past Denver? More NBA talk with Mike Lupica, host of a podcast called The Sports Reporters, produced by Compass Media Networks. Mike, who knew Kawhi Leonard's jumper to send Toronto over Philly was the first Game 7 buzzer beater?
To me, it will go down as one of the most famous shots in NBA history. We all remember Michael's Game 5 buzzer beater, but deciding game against the Cavaliers that time, which was kind of Michael's hello world moment in the NBA. And Tom Thibodeau was pointing out something on ESPN. You know, Allen Houston had a buzzer beater with a second left to beat the Heat in a Game 5 one time. But this was one of the great and most memorable endings. It's funny. My youngest son is back east. Zach was watching a game with me. Before the game, he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Zach, this may be one of those games where it comes down to who's the best player in the gym." And the Raptors have the best player in the gym, in Kawhi Leonard. Little did I know that he would put up a shot that I believe its apex was 18 feet in the air.
Jeez.
Over Joel Embiid.
Right.
And I can remember way back in the day, I think it was Bobby Heaton for Indiana State, made a shot in a regional final that bounced around the rim. And I wrote a column that day about how that ball was hanging there trying to decide what was going to happen for 10 players, a fan base, a season. And I listened, Gordon, I listened to a lot of guys say, oh, Simmons should have done this, and they should have done this, and they should have trapped it. Da, da, da. Guess what? If he's going to make that shot that way, your team's going to lose. That's all there is
right,
to it.
Right. Does a shot like that for, say, the conference finals now draw in more viewers, at least initially? Are some people saying, wow, this NBA might be worth a look? Or is that not the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NBA playoffs have been compelling, riveting, exciting, and dramatic from the start. I mean, two game sevens, one the road team wins and comes from 17 down to do it. And I don't care what the television markets are. I mean, who doesn't want to watch Kawhi now? Who doesn't want to watch Giannis, okay? Who doesn't want to see if the Warriors can do it again? Who doesn't want to watch the Blazers and Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum off of what they did, especially McCollum in the fourth quarter? I think that the idea that you need New York or L.A., that's an idea out of the past.
We're speaking with Mike Lupica, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast from Compass Media. We're talking about the NBA. I was surprised, and I think a little bit disappointed. This is slightly off subject, but at least a couple of media outlets, including ESPN, pointing out that Joel Embiid was in tears after the game. Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Do we not understand like the emotion and passion involved? Or is it men aren't allowed to cry in sports? I don't know. It just struck me as very odd.
I saw my buddy Jordan Schultz, who does a podcast with C.J. McCollum and does some work now for ESPN. He lit into all the people who are making fun of Joel Embiid for crying after the game. I mean, I thought it was quite human and kind of wonderful to see how much, because you know what, he can be a bit of a sideshow. You know, he likes to talk. I mean, he acts like it's against the law to have an unspoken thought. But it's okay. It's okay to show those types of emotions. I mean, he was the guy, right? He had a front row seat to what happened with Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
And he did everything you can do. I mean, Kawhi shot it over their longest, most athletically gifted guy. And it bounced around and it went in. And good for Joel Embiid for not being afraid to show what he was feeling in that moment.
John Beilein leaves Michigan after 12 years to go to the Cavaliers.
I'm the president of the John Beilein fan club. I love the way every one of his teams, every one of his schools, I love the way they play basketball. But I was shocked that at this point in his career, he's 60, whatever he is.
66,
that he would make this move. But he's a great, great, great basketball coach. And you can't do better than that. Now we'll see if he can help revive the fortunes of the Cavaliers in Cleveland.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lupica, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast, produced by Compass Media Networks. The Eastern Conference Finals begin tomorrow. Game one, Toronto at Milwaukee. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know $75 was too rich for our blood, but apparently some of you were willing to shell out that kind of cash for a cup of coffee. We told you yesterday about the exclusive $800 a pound coffee that a California company was able to get their hands on over the weekend. Clutch Coffee Roasters was offering up a taste of the beans from Panama for $75 a cup to customers in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And if you were still deciding whether it's worth it, you're already too late. The company says it's already sold out. Good news, though, if you missed out and don't have that kind of budget for a cup of Joe anyway, the company says they have another bean from the same farm in Panama, and that's only $5 a cup.
Ooh. You know, I think my feelings were hurt a little bit yesterday.
See, whenever we talk about coffee, all the people come out of the woodwork. Because you start talking about your creamer,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's the
your
thing.
Your hazelnut creamer or whatever.
I can't drink coffee without a lot of help in the cup.
Yes.
Whether it's half and half with sugar or flavored creamer. And somebody on Twitter yesterday told me, I'm not qualified to be in the expensive or good coffee
right.
conversation
yeah.
because I use flavored creamer. And I'm okay with that. I understand where he's coming from, but I was mildly hurt.
Yeah, you're just fine not paying the $75.
That's right.
You'll pay a couple of bucks. Or free coffee here at work. You'd be happy to
yes.
get the machine coffee
That's right.
Here at work and just douse that with creamer
yeah.
and make that work for you.
It's the machine coffee French vanilla.
Yes.
And as Dave Duncan showed me, like a little shot of espresso in there
yeah.
just jazzes it up nicely.
Oh, boy.
All from a machine.
You're going to get all kinds of tweets
yeah.
today.
Well, traditionally, like at home,
yes.
I am like a flavored creamer mm-hmm. in the cup with a splash of coffee.
Oh, boy.
That's basically how I have it heated.
Boy, here they come. And hardly a week goes by, Gordon, that we don't hear about some new offense to one of our favorite foods. The latest Hawaiian spaghetti pizza. If you listen to this show, you've already heard about the red-hot controversy surrounding pineapple on pizza, with the issue being so divisive that the president of Iceland was forced to weigh in and consider banning it a couple years ago. Now, Domino's in New Zealand is teaming up with a local food company to create a new thing, which may give me nightmares. In a Facebook post by Domino's New Zealand over the weekend, the company posted a picture of the Hawaiian spaghetti pizza, complete with canned spaghetti and pineapple chunks. It also comes stacked with ham and mozzarella cheese. They say it's only available for a limited time, and it isn't any sort of super late April Fool's joke. Commenters had some things to say, for sure. Some expressed nostalgia for what was apparently a defining cuisine of their childhood, while others naturally reacted with disgust.
Canned spaghetti?
Canned
I presume
spaghetti.
Also canned pineapple chunks, too?
I would have to think so. I guess it's this food company, which is kind of like the Chef Boyardee of New
yeah.
Zealand. It's who they're teaming up with here. So that's yeah. where the canned spaghetti comes from.
What's it called? Stupid pizza?
yeah.
Or junk pizza?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
just moronic.
Something which would never
canned?
Enter my home.
No. Lemon yeah. and pepper seasoning, yes. Celery salt, yes. Ranch dressing, yes. And
now
any
I'm
kind
hungry.
Of and any kind of meat. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Petty Poppy's, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. Good news for recent college grads. Employers plan to hire 10.7% more class of 2019 graduates than they did from the class of 2018, according to the National Association of Colleges and Employers. USA Today has some tips for setting yourself apart from the pack and landing a job. Number one, having a compelling resume will help. First, you can emphasize the courses you took and the grades you scored, especially those relevant to your field. Then list any on-campus jobs, internships, volunteer experience. Number two, craft a creative cover letter. Your cover letter is a chance to let your personality shine. Tweak it as different jobs hit your radar. And number three, brush up on your interview skills. Know what questions you might get, look up some of the most common ones, and then find a friend or family member who's willing to run through some mock interviews with you. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, stocks had their worst day in 4 months after a series of escalations in the U.S.-China trade war. The Dow lost 617 points, or almost 2.4%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite lost 3.4%. The plunge, piling on an earlier decline in global financial markets, lopped more than $1 trillion off stock markets around the world. Hours after China boosted tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods, President Trump said he would take steps to help farmers being squeezed by the trade war.
We're going to take the highest year, the biggest purchase that China has ever made with our farmers, which is about $15 billion, and do something reciprocal to our farmers so our farmers can do well.
Trump says farmers will be very happy with his plan. A team of federal accident investigators is expected to arrive in Alaska today to try to piece together what caused a deadly midair collision between two sightseeing planes. Five people were killed after the float planes carrying cruise ship tourists collided yesterday near the southeast Alaska town of Ketchikan. One is missing. Coast Guard Petty Officer John Paul Rios.
We don't know exactly what caused these aircraft to go in the water.
10 people were injured, with one in critical condition. Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman has pleaded guilty in the college admissions bribery scheme, the biggest name to do so, in a scandal that has underscored the lengths to which some wealthy parents would go to get their children into top universities. The Emmy-winning actress could face prison time after she admitted to participating in the nationwide scam, in which authorities say parents bribed coaches, rigged entrance exams, or both to game the admission system. After 3 years of silence, a noisy geyser in Yellowstone National Park has roared back to life. Ledge Geyser, one of the biggest in Yellowstone's Norris Geyser Basin, shoots hot water at an angle up to 125 feet high and a distance of 220 feet. Yellowstone has 500 geysers, more than anywhere else on Earth. Some geysers, such as Old Faithful, are predictable, but most, like Ledge Geyser, erupt erratically.
I didn't realize it had that many. I saw Old Faithful one time. My biggest takeaway, though, was the traffic. Of bison, you know, driving through the main road into the park, and your car is surrounded by bison. It is insane. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. A 37-year-old Navy SEAL who served 4 combat tours was rejected by the New York City Fire Department for being too old. Now, other fire departments across the country would like his services. CNN says Sean Donovan, an active special operations chief for the Navy SEALs, scored in the top 1% of applicants for the FDNY. He also passed the physical exam. But despite flying to New York twice for the recruiting process since 2017, New York rejected him for being about 6 months older than the max age requirement. Mr. Donovan is still currently serving on active duty in California, but hope to make the move to New York when he's eligible to retire from the Navy next year. His family is from New York originally. In February, Mr. Donovan received a letter from the department rejecting his application, citing the age requirement he's appealing. Meanwhile, the Denver Fire Department and the San Francisco Fire Department are both encouraging Mr. Donovan to consider their cities. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.